Hello, and welcome to Sleep Unplugged with Dr. Chris Winter, bonus edition. I said in my last episode, I was so excited that we have gotten to episode 10, that I was going to record a little bonus extra episode that I've wanted to do for some time, just for fun. And I'm excited to think about the future and how people will look back on this episode and debate, is it really the 11th episode? Is it 10B? Do you throw it all together? Is it canon? Is it not canon? So I'm excited to mess up the order of things and throw in this bonus episode right in the middle of the week to talk about sleeping around. So let me give you some backstory to this. So the sleeping around videos that are on sleep.com right now, which I want to talk about, I'm really excited about, came about in a really unusual way. So let me give you some backstory. Back in 2020, I started working with sleep.com. They were a new startup, and their goal was, we want to make great sleep content. We want to be the go-to place for people to come to get great information about sleep. So in the process of getting this set up and having the best web name you could imagine, obviously www.sleep.com, they reached out to me and said, would you be interested in helping us with content, factually check things, give us ideas, answer questions our writers have, and just kind of help us be a voice of somebody who's been within sleep for some time and help us put this together. And I had been approached by groups, startups, and things of that nature for some time. They said, look, we are actually owned by Mattress Firm, but we are operating completely independently. You do not have to sell mattresses. Not that there's anything wrong with selling a mattress. I happen to sleep on one myself, but that will not be your role. You can always say anything you want to about anything you want to. You're under no obligations. We just need your expertise. And, you know, it's an interesting thing when you're a doctor. It's something that you protect. When I talk to a patient, when I talk to a player about something, you're always very careful that you're not selling. And if you are selling, and that's okay. I sell books. I've got two books, The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep's Broken and How to Fix It, and The Rested Child, Why Your Tired, Wired, or Irritable Child May Have a Sleep Disorder and How to Help, which is actually number three in new releases because it just came out in paperback. Thank you all very much for supporting that book, giving it as a gift to that friend of yours who's having their baby. I really appreciate that. So you protect it. So I was very careful about that. And once those assurances were made, the second thing I said was, look, I don't have a lot of time. I've got kids that I really enjoy spending time with. I've got a wonderful wife who I really enjoy spending time with. So if this is going to take away my time, my clinic is bursting at the seams and it's a huge, huge, huge endeavor to run. If I'm going to do this, I really want to do something special. I want to push the envelope. I don't want to write or help with articles constantly about what's the best pillow and what's the best temperature to sleep at. I really want that's been done. It's out there. You can look up that question online and find out. Let's start to put information out there. Let's make it sleep 2.0. We've been through the first phase of sleep. Let's push the envelope. Sleep 2.0. Let's do some creative things. I had this idea for a podcast I wanted to do. Interesting article topics, just fun, creative ways to bring people into sleep in a way that hadn't been done before. And they were into it. They were totally into it. In fact, they had ideas that were way better than mine. So fast forward a few months and suddenly we're out in Los Angeles shooting the Dream Team, which I always liked that name. It reminds me of the Dream Team, Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, Magic Johnson, the big group of guys in the NBA who played in that Olympics and beat everybody. They were the Dream Team. So they were putting together the Dream Team, pun obviously intended. of sleep professionals and people adjacent to sleep, adjacent to performance, that we could all sort of share our story. It kind of reminded me sort of a queer eye, that we could take a look at a problem from different angles. We'll have Chris talking to this individual perhaps about sleep from a medical perspective. We have this wonderful behavioral sleep specialist. Her name is Jade Wu. You should look her up, and she's getting ready to write a book. She's awesome and one of the nicest people I've ever met. We're going to bring her in to look at the psychology of things. We're going to bring in professional athletes and road warrior DJs and people within the culinary industry and then people within the mattress industry and just bring everybody together. So when individuals have issues related to their sleep, we have all these cool perspectives. So they brought us all out to LA and started filming some things to put on the sleep.com website, which was a lot of fun and really instructional. It was really fun to talk to somebody like Terry Adams, this world-renowned freestyle BMX rider, who, if you haven't looked up his videos on Facebook and Instagram, he is an amazing follow. Like, I was a huge BMX fan growing up. I remember the tricks we used to try to do and were being done. Terry's blowing that envelope out of the water. I don't know how he does what he does. So while we were out there in LA filming all these things, I was sitting there watching Jade interview somebody else. And between takes, I was sitting next to Sam Bennett, who was really in charge of the sleep.com effort. And nicest woman you've ever met. Very professional. You can tell there's people that you sit down next to and you know they're really, really smart, but also really nice, which is a great combination. So we're talking and she's sort of asking some questions and getting to know me because this whole thing is very new. And she said, "Chris, if you could do anything you wanted to do within sleep, what would it be?" And it didn't take me very long to answer the question. I said, "You know, back in 2015, I was doing some writing for Huffington Post, who it's being, obviously the CEO is Arianna Huffington, massive sleep fan and expert in her own right and a wonderful human being." And I said, back in 2015, I was writing a series of articles called Sleeping Around, which I loved doing. So I would put myself in an unusual situation that somebody might find themselves in sleep-wise, and then try to write about the experience and relate it back to problems we all have with our sleep. So I think back in January of 2015, I happened to be traveling out to Oklahoma City to work with the Thunder, which is an NBA team I work with. And within Oklahoma City, there is a hotel called the Skirvin. And the legend is that the Skirvin Hotel is haunted. And if you look up Skirvin Hotel, Oklahoma City, you will get the greatest articles having to do with NBA players who have been interviewed, having gone through Oklahoma City to play the Thunder. The team stays at the Skirvin, and that's where the visiting team would stay. It's this beautiful kind of Great Gatsby feel hotel that player after player said was haunted. Player went to bed, player woke up, the bathtub full of water. No idea how that happened. Hearing voices, people walking around. So that was thrilling to me. So I happened to be going there and also happened to be going out to the Ahwahnee Hotel, which is in Yosemite National Park, which if you're a fan of The Shining, that was the hotel interior that Stanley Kubrick modeled the hotel, the Overlook Hotel, in terms of when he did the movie version of The Shining. So when you walk inside the Ahwahnee, you feel like you're walking into the Overlook. Doesn't look like it on the outside, looks very much like it on the inside, including the elevator doors that have the blood coming out of them, which is terrifying even to talk about. Shining is absolutely one of my favorite movies, and it scares me every time I watch it. So I had going out to a trip to spend a night in a real hotel that was haunted, quote unquote, and going to a hotel that scared the hell out of me. So I wrote about the experience and took some pictures. You can find them still online. If you look up Huffington Post, Sleeping Around, you can find my articles. And what I wrote about how fear affects sleep. And then a few months later, I got to sleep in a sensory deprivation tank. And then, but the one thing that I really wanted to do from the beginning of the project was I wanted to sleep on a portal edge. So a portal edge is that thing that when mountain climbers climb, if you look up, I think there's a movie called Meru that is truly terrifying. These people are three guys are on the side of a mountain. You know, people are having strokes and running out of food and oxygen. It's a harrowing movie if you want to watch one. So as they're climbing, when they get to the point where they're running out of light and they've got to rest, they build a little teeny cot like tent on the side of the mountain, climb inside, eat a little sausage and piece of, you know, cheese rind, try to sleep, wake up, scrape the ice off their faces and keep climbing, deconstruct the portal edge. And go. So I was like, oh, I got to sleep on one of these things. And people all the time would send me pictures of portal edges and say, you've got to sleep there. I get sent all kinds of interesting pictures of places to sleep. My favorite one that never came about was I was petitioning and writing to a museum that had one of the Gemini space capsules and asking them, could I just show up there when you close and, you know, shower, get really clean, and I climb inside that Gemini space capsule and I sleep there overnight. And when I wake up in the morning and you open up the museum, I'll get out and you'll never know I was there. That went nowhere. Apparently nobody wants random sleep doctors sleeping in their historic NASA capsules. So anyway, that didn't work out. But the portal edge, I worked and worked and worked. Most people just hung up on me, never returned my call. But there was one guy, his name was Arthur. He runs the Gendarme climbing shop in Seneca Rocks, West Virginia. He said, yes, I'll do it. So I had done some of these things. And so I'm sitting there in LA talking to the CEO of sleep.com. And she asked me, what would you do? I said, I would like to do sleeping around, but do it right and do it big time. I think it would be an amazing television show. And that's what I would do. And she said, that's cool. And that was it. And so as I continued to work with sleep.com, we were out there filming in LA. I think we were out there in August or September. Well, like a few months later, we were out there in June, I guess. I'm blanking. It doesn't really matter. But just a few months later, I get a call from my contact through sleep.com, who sort of manages me and communicates with me. Wonderful guy named Jefferson. Jefferson Burris, and Jefferson says, hey, we're making sleeping around. So I'm like, what? He said, yeah. He said, I've pitched it and Sam and I talked about it and we've been greenlit by the company to really do it. And not only were they doing sleeping around, but another series of articles I wrote for Huffington Post was called Sleeping with the Band. And the angle there was I would talk to a musical group, an artist or a band about what happens between the time when the show ends and the next one begins, which is fascinating. They're in vans driving from Tennessee to Spokane, Washington for the show the next night, taking turns driving, no sleep. I mean, just fabulous. Got to talk to Fitz and the Tantrums, driving and crying. Mike Watt, who is the bass player for Iggy Pop, which is still my absolute favorite interview. Carbon Leaf, just a whole bunch of artists kind of came through, got to talk to him about what sleep meant to them and what kinds of crazy things they did to get to the places where they were. So Jefferson calls me up and says, we're making Sleeping Around. We're going to kind of combine some of the elements of Sleeping with the Band. We're going to do three episodes. We're going to do an episode where you're in that portal edge. So we're going to do the portal edge right. We're going to do an episode where you go on tour with a musical group. And then we're going to do an episode where you spend 24 hours with the busiest fire department in the country, I think, which is the Fort Worth Fire Department, which I'm sporting their shirt right now. So almost immediately, we find ourselves on the road with Shaky Graves. So we met the crew met up with him in Santa Fe, traveled with him to Phoenix, and then from Phoenix to LA. So it was amazing. You know, I love music, and we were kind of coming out of COVID where nobody had really any sort of live music experiences. And Shaky could not have been more gracious with his time, more open, got to be on his bus, really talked to him about what it was like, not only now that he had arrived, meaning that when he's out there performing and doing his shaman sort of act for the crowd, but he's got a bus driver who's back at the hotel sleeping. So when the show's over and it's time to get going and get in your bunk and sleep on the road to the next venue, you've got a professional driver who's been sleeping all day who can get you there safely. And it's really interesting to talk to people like Shaky who've really grinded and scratched their way up. I mean, he was sort of a busker if you're a big Shaky Graves fan. He'd sit out there with a guitar and his tambourine on his foot and play these amazing songs. And even today, his act is sort of part busking and part solo and part with a group. And he's outstanding. If you've never seen him perform, you really should. He actually, when we were in Phoenix, did a cover of Starman, which if you listen to the show, you know I'm a huge David Bowie fan. And I about lost my mind during that cover, so much so that I think everything they filmed of that song was completely unusable because I was just geeking out so badly. So I want to tell a good story from each of these shoots. And my favorite story with this shoot was during the final show in LA. You know, we'd seen the show in Santa Fe, seen the show in Phoenix. Now we're in LA and we were all pretty beat. I was sleeping on this tour bus, which was an experience in and of itself, in this tiny little bunk. And you just to get excited about everything that's going on. So we're all sitting around behind the venue in this little tiny lot where all the vans and the tour buses stay. And we were sitting around talking. And a Tesla pulled up right beside us, which was kind of weird because we were in this sort of restricted area. And sort of backed its way in and sat there for a minute. And then the doors opened and some people got out. And as they walked over, very unassuming, and we're all wearing, you know, masks and whatnot, guy in a bucket hat and a mask comes by and says hello. And as he walked in, somebody said, "I think that was Brad Pitt." So everybody is just kind of like, "Oh my God, that was Brad Pitt walking in to go see Shaky Graves with his girlfriend," I assume. It seemed like there was somebody driving the Tesla that wasn't a part of the situation, but the two of them just pulled up and they walked in and saw the show. So I have this weird thing that I always keep a business card in my wallet just in case I run into Barack Obama, you know, in an airport or something of that nature. It started, frankly, when David Bowie was alive, that I always had this thought that I would run into David Bowie. And I felt like he should have my business card for some reason. Just, you know, if he was up all night, you know, with some writer's block, couldn't sleep, whatever. So the business card eventually got replaced with, I always travel with a copy of the book I wrote. Just, you know, if somebody gives you something nice, sometimes you work with the military and they'll give you these cool challenge coins. So I always wanted a book to give to them. So I had a book, The Rested Child, in the tour bus. So after Brad kind of disappeared, everybody's, you know, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe that was him. Hopefully we'll get to see him when we come out because his Tesla's right there." So I went and got the Rested Child book and just shoved it in the back of my pants. And so I had a jacket on, so you couldn't see it. So it's just kind of stuck in the back there, like you would, you know, put a concealed weapon or something, and then had my coat on. So we're all sitting around talking, and sure enough, he comes back out. And it was just the greatest scene because everybody's just being super cool about it. Like, Brad Pitt, no big deal. And Jefferson pulls out his phone and you can see he got the picture. Oh my God, he got the perfect picture because Brad came over, said hello, introduced himself. So nice. And just, "Hey, how are you? It was a great show. Oh, I really like Shaky Graves. How y'all doing tonight? Doing okay? Great. And I hope you have a good night." And as he was walking away, I just produced the book like a magic trick. It was right there in my hand and said, "Hey, Brad, I know you're a family guy and I hope this book could be useful to you. with your kids. And I gave it to him, and he said, "I really appreciate it. Thank you so much." And he walked away. And so we're all just kind of sitting there after it happened. And the two conversations that immediately happened were, number one, where in the hell did that book come from? Do you just keep a book like ready to go to perform that magic trick? And I said, no, I'd gone in there and gotten it. And so that was hilarious. And they were like, "Oh my God, I can't believe you gave him that book. You're such a nerd." And then the next question was, "Okay, Jefferson, let's see the picture, because you clearly got the best picture." And what's really funny was right above us on this building's billboard was, taken by an iPhone, whatever, the version was, so this beautiful picture of a hummingbird or whatever. And so we pull out, it is the most blurry, it's a non-photo. It's just color abstraction. You would never know it was even a person, let alone Brad Pitt. So that was the final memory of the tour, almost having the picture with Brad Pitt, but not quite. So anyway, loved it. Shaky was great. Shaky, I wish you all the best success. Thank you for being a part of that. That was awesome. Packed it up, and then we headed off to Fort Worth, where we were going to spend 24 hours with the Fort Worth Fire Department. Lovely people. As I've mentioned in a previous episode of the podcast, they are the Fort Worth Fire Department. They're ass kickers. They're the busiest in the world. The one thing that they are not is the Dallas Fort Worth Fire Department. And I kept saying it when we would do stuff. We'd get halfway through a take and I would throw in Dallas because I guess at the airport, I don't know why, I just always would say Dallas Fort Worth. So it just kind of became a joke. But wonderful time with them. It was an exhausting experience. That alarm. So the alarms go off in the fire station and there are actually three poles. And so when you hear the beep, you've not only got to respond to it, but you've got to identify the beep as being which beep, because that will tell you which pole you slide down. And they said, "Look, Chris, you can come with us to any of our responses, but if you're late, we're not waiting for you. We're gone." So not only when you woke up, were you stressed out about, "I've got to get there quickly," but you were like, "Is that the middle pole or is that the far right pole?" Because the pole, when you slide down, puts you in the position to get right into the truck. So even if you went down the wrong pole, you could still figure it out, but you're just running around a garage, around all the other vehicles, trying to make your way there. My favorite memory of the time there, which didn't make it in the show, was I didn't know how much downtime we had. So I brought with me this little biofeedback device. It's called Muse. It's made by a company called Interaxon. So I brought the device and I brought a $50 bill. And we were all sitting around there after dinner, kind of waiting for the next call. I said, "I want to show you all something." And I got it out and I put the $50 bill on a tack board. I said, "Look, you put this whole thing on your head. As you relax and meditate, it's going to measure your brain activity and turn it into a sound. Your job is to make the sound as quiet as possible, and it'll give you a score. And your score relates to how turned down, how relaxed, how settled you can get your brain. It's a skill. You can get good at it. You have trouble turning your mind off to go to sleep at night? You can get better at it with a device like this." So everybody took turns doing these 3-minute sessions, pop it on your head, go into a quiet room at the fire station, and they would emerge every 3 minutes with a score. And we had a big whiteboard where we put people's names and their scores. And you could do it as many times as you want, but whoever had the best score by midnight got the $50. And brother, it was the best thing in the world to watch a bunch of firemen ready to go, anxious, wound tight. When's the next alarm going? When's the next emergency? Competing to see who could be the calmest, which was awesome. And I think every one of them improved, but one guy just did fantastically with it. So he was the winner at midnight. So he got the money. My other favorite thing about the Dallas Fort Worth Fire Department is after we had this big dinner, I said, "Who does dishes?" And they said, "Oh, well, come with us." And so everybody got these weird little dice and they have all these interesting games. Roll the dice and whoever's dice gets closest to the wall wins. If you're furthest from the wall, you're in the running to do the dishes. or who can roll the dice closest to the actual hole that goes down to where the pole is. And whoever gets closest, you're safe. The people are furthest way out. If you go into the hole, not only are you out, but you've got to go downstairs and find the die. So it was awesome. And it went on for a while. And I actually did really well. So I was very disappointed that I didn't get to do the dishes. But as I've said before, because I've mentioned you guys as being the Dallas-Fort Worth Fire Department in the past, the next time I'm anywhere near Fort Worth, I'm coming to station, lighting 17 and doing the dishes. The last shoot was in Estes Park, Colorado. So we show up in Estes Park, Colorado, beautiful place on this earth, stayed at the Stanley Hotel, which was actually the inspiration for Stephen King's book, The Shining. And that's always fun because obviously the sequel was Dr. Sleep. So Shining references everywhere. So we're staying at the Stanley Hotel, getting ready to go to this climb nearby. So the day of the climb, we all go out there and we meet Sasha. But before the climb, Jefferson and I was so freaked out and kind of nervous, like, where are we going? What's this look like? He's, I know where it is. I've got a pin on the map. So we actually drove out to see it, which was a huge mistake because it was big time and high and truly terrifying. So anyway, the next day we go out, drive to this place in Estes Park, Colorado, and meet Sasha DeJulian, who is a huge figure in climbing. In fact, when I was doing some shopping for the trip, you know, I needed to get certain gear before I went out there. Sleep.com and Wildlife, the production company, sent me this list. You need these kind of pants. You got to wear this kind of jacket. It can be really cold. You might want to get these kind of gloves. And you know, they gave you all the good stuff and the brands that made you look like you knew what you were doing. And one of the salespeople said, what are you getting ready for? I said, I'm going to go climbing in Estes Park, Colorado. They said, oh, you're a climber? I'm like, no, I'm not a climber. And they said, oh, you're going to love it. You know, you have a really good time and you're going on a tour or do you have a guide or are you taking instructions? I said, I'm actually climbing with somebody named Sasha DeJulian. He said, Sasha DeJulian? I said, yeah. I said, do you know her? He said, well, yeah. And he just kind of pointed like this. And on the wall of the shop is, you know, Sasha DeJulian doing this one-handed hang, like eating one of her Sen bars or whatever she's doing. And in fact, if you look at the emoji on your phone, I believe it's actually modeled after a picture of her. I mean, she's just that kind of elite level talent. So we got out there, got all outfitted, walked along a trail, and there she was. I mean, she looks like she's 27, 28 years old. And just a stone cold killer and really deep, really fun to talk to. We had a great time. They said, do you want to climb it or do you just want us to, you know, take you down from the top? I said, I'd really like to climb it if I can. I said, I have some climbing experience, but I don't know how good I'm going to be. To her credit, she chose a positioning of that portal edge that if the climb had been any harder, I would never have been able to do it. It was right on the, in fact, once I did it the first time, we actually climbed it twice, but just because of shooting, I, you know, rappelled down and said to her, I don't think that I can do it again. She said, what do you mean? You were fine. I said, I just think I got lucky. Like I really felt like I was climbing the face of a refrigerator. Like there's nothing to, I was just kind of doing this all the time. And she kept saying, trust your shoes. I was like, if I ever get up to that ledge, I am going to tell her, you've got to stop telling people that. I don't know what that means, what you mean when you say trust your shoes. But what she was saying was the actual shoe just makes the tiniest little indentation of the rock. It really works. Like you don't slip. And she said something else before I started climbing. She said, sometimes a rock can break. And there was this cool term for that. When you're climbing and your hand breaks right off and you fall or whatever. And so you want to knock. So as you climb, you kind of knock on the rock. And if it sounds hollow, that's probably not a good hold. So I was kind of doing it. And I remember at one point knocking and thinking, that sounds kind of hollow. I went for it anyway because I was so terrified. I couldn't find anything else to hold. And sure enough, it broke. And unfortunately, it was such a great clip, but it didn't make its way into the final product that you see on sleep.com. And it was really interesting. I said, if we had been climbing without ropes, she goes, yeah, you would have died. I said, how do you feel about that? She goes, I don't have a great, she said, I'm not really, she said, I have utmost respect for all climbers. They should do what they want to do. But I just personally, free climbing to me doesn't fill a void that needs to be filled. Or she said something really pretty like that, like no shade or whatever, but just doesn't feel like I don't need that danger and unpredictability to be satisfied in what I do. And she goes all around the world and climbs some great things. My favorite story of the night was we climbed it, came back down. They set cameras up and drones again, climbed it again. And then we were left up there. And my biggest fear, frankly, for the whole thing was I don't want to get up there and have to go to the bathroom. That was the, so I didn't even eat that day. Like people kept saying, you want a sandwich? You want breakfast? You want this? I'm like, oh, I just ate a bar, which is a total lie. Like, I don't think I had anything to eat all day. I was just so, did not want to get up there. And then 3 o'clock in the middle of the night, be like, oh, I really got to go to the bathroom. And not the easy one, if you know what I mean. So we were up there. And at one point she said, you have to go to the bathroom. I was like, no, I'm good. She said, well, if you do, we have all kinds. We're prepared for that. Like we do this all the time. It's no big deal. Don't be modest. Like we all do this kind of stuff. And I mean, she was like, whatever. Decided, no, I don't need to do that. Well, eventually I had to pee. That was inevitable. And I sort of said, hey, Sasha, I got to pee. Like, what's the protocol here? She's, oh, you just stand up, pee off the edge, which is wonderful for the climbers coming up the route tomorrow, I guess. But anyway, so, okay, well, I'll try to miss the rock as much as I can. Well, I was not really particularly scared moving around on the portal edge. Sasha was really expert in terms of making sure I was secured safely, et cetera. But it was a little terrifying to let go to do what I needed to do in order to urinate. So I just kind of turned my back and was standing there and, you know, had one hand on a rope and the stone wall and the other hand was trying to, you know, deal with these mountain climber pants or whatever I was wearing. And eventually I was just, I can't do this. And so I just kneeled down, got down on both knees and I was like, oh, this is much easier. And so as I was kind of getting myself ready to go, I heard a voice and the voice was just like, what are you doing? And I just kind of looked over my shoulder. I said, oh, I'm going to pee. I'm sorry. I'm just taking a lot of time here to do it. She said, you can't do that. Like, what do you mean? Like pee on the wall? Like what? She goes, you can't pee from your knees. I'm like, oh, I think I can. I'm pretty sure I'm able to do it. She said, no, it's not that you can't do it. I'm saying nobody does that. It's like a thing with mountain climbers. Like men, women, nobody pees from their knees. Stand up, be a mountain climber, pee from your feet. And, you know, for a minute I was, oh, okay, well, I'll try again. So I stood up and was kind of back to that same problem all over again. And I had sort of took a minute and thought, I'm almost 50 years old. I am happily married. I've got 3 lovely kids. What do I care about this random mountain climber thinking about me or frankly, her entire community? So I got down on my knees and peed proudly. So I'm just declaring that to the greater mountain climbing community in case dear Sasha is trying to cover up for me. No. I peed from my knees. I'll own that. So it was a wonderful experience. One of the nicest nights of sleep I've ever had. It got a little cold. And the great thing was we woke up and I was using a Withings sleep monitor. And I think she had I'm not going to say what I think she had because I'm not sure if she's sponsored or something. I don't want to screw anything up like that. But anyway, I said, how much did you sleep? And she goes, I slept 6 hours and 7 minutes. And I looked at my device, which is completely independent of hers, and it was 6 hours and 8 minutes. So the moral of that story is I won. I won the sleep competition with Sasha and Julian. So that's it. I just wanted to tell some quick little behind the stories and talk a little bit about my wonderful experience with sleep.com, making sort of a dream of mine come true, which was the sleeping around episodes that we've created. I'm really excited. Hopefully in the future, we'll get to make 3 more. We've got a list of interesting places where people find themselves sleeping. I still haven't given up on the spaceship. I want to give a huge thanks to everybody at sleep.com, Jefferson Burris, Sam Bennett, Danielle Kosecki, Aaron Hartigan, everybody at Wildlife and the production team that put it together. It's amazing if you haven't seen it. And I just also wanted to thank Shaky Graves, Fort Worth Fire Department, and Sasha Julian for being such amazing hosts and letting us into their lives a little bit and how they sleep. So whether this is episode 10B or it's episode 11, thank you for joining me. We'll be back Monday with our standard Sleep Unplugged episode on sleeping pills. Really appreciate your support. Thank you for the follows, the great feedback, the questions. Like us, follow us, drop us a review when you can, and tune in next Monday. Until then, sleep well. Oh, real quick, social media, Dr. Chris Winter, Instagram, Dr. Chris Winter, Twitter, and Dr. Chris Winter, TikTok. Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep's Broken, How to Fix It, The Rested Child. And with that, sleep well.